Hello and welcome to the Flâneur Podcast, a weekly eclectic mix of art, music, film, theatre and other culture. Thanks for listening. That was the new single I've Got You from Swedish urban folk collective Billy Momo. It's taken from their forthcoming debut LP, Drunk Talk. Germany has a complex history, says the British Museum's brochure, which is code for no matter what else Germans have achieved, their history includes an incomprehensible genocidal period. For this reason, for much of recent history, a big UK museum show singing the praises of Germany would have been unimaginable. Germany and Britain have had a fraught relationship, although as the UK has over time been at war with 90% of the globe, that could be said of most British relationships. In 2014, the British Museum has decided that enough time has passed since World War II for the nation to accept a Greatest Hits of Germany exhibition. It is 25 years since the anti-fascist protection rampart, aka the Berlin Wall, came down, and the British Museum is using that as reason enough to shift all their German treasures into one gallery, add in some loans, and open the door to Germany, Memories of a Nation. A 600-year history is told through a series of artworks and objects, music and philosophy not getting much of a look in. The first exhibit is a piece of the original wall, the destruction of which marks the latest incarnation of the German nation. Unlike Britain, a country whose borders only change through sea erosion or home rule votes, the borders of Germany have changed many times. The first section of the show makes this clear, showing objects from cities that are no longer in Germany. Back in 1600-something, Basel and Strasbourg were in Germany. So was Prague. From the Holy Roman Empire onward, Germany, however defined, has been religiously and politically complicated, which has had a profound effect on the rest of the world, for both good and bad. The show includes works by Durer and Holbein, the Bauhaus and Kollwitz. A pottery model of Durer's famous rhinoceros etching has been loaned to the show. Outside the exhibition, in the central Great Court, is an original beetle. A large portrait of Goethe by Tischbein illustrates that he is their Shakespeare. Gold ducats, hand-coloured engravings, Germany was the first country to produce printed maps. There are also more contemporary pieces, including a film from the 9th of November 1989 of the wall being joyously dismantled and East Germans pouring through the checkpoints. With any such Up With Germany show, there is obviously the difficult issue of World War II. How do you integrate the horrors that Germany got up to with the craftsmanship, literature and art of their past? Germany, Memories of a Nation, knows it can't be ignored, but there is not a very big section devoted to the war. A replica of a concentration camp gate is the main reminder of World War II. Whilst examples of banknotes issued during hyperinflation seem to be willfully avoiding the main point. The whole section feels too small, and the show quickly moves into the Berlin Wall era. The Hitler years are left with a similar amount of wall space to a selection of sanitized landscape paintings by Caspar David Friedrich from earlier in the show, and are surely more important. The museum has realized that football has to be mentioned in any history of German achievement, but seems to have been unable to force itself to place anything footy-related in the actual exhibition. So make sure you keep concentrating after you have been through the obligatory end-of-exhibition gift shop and are heading back to the stairs. There you will find a solitary cabinet of German football memorabilia. After all, Germany might have led the world in printing, religious dissent and repulsive slaughter, but they are currently world champions.
some cruel subjugation. Written in blood on some bit of legislation. Here come the promises. I sing the sweet spoken words. Here comes indoctrination. Seduced by a verse. How now? Well known for protestation. Beneath the expectations lies your motivation.
Manifests from the new EP by blues rock four-piece Bernicia. As always, more details are available on our website www.flaneur.london. Finally this week, we have a review of The Piano Man, produced by All the Pigs and showing at the new Diorama Theatre. The Piano Man is a thought-provoking performance inspired by unusual events that you may remember. In 2005, a man appeared in a labelless suit on the Kent coast, seemingly washed up out of the sea. Had he fallen off a ship? Was he an illegal immigrant? Was he a merman? Is merman even a word? Without ID and unable to or refusing to talk, the man was handed over to medical staff. They discovered that though he didn't speak, he did play the piano. At the time, it was a mystery who he was, why he was there, and how he had arrived. However, the production by All the Pigs is not concerned with the relatively simple mystery of who he was. The details are all in the public domain, and early in the play we hear him called Andreas. Several flashbacks show him interacting at home in Germany, implying a failed relationship was the catalyst for his behaviour. Instead, the episode is used as a peg for an investigation into the greater mystery of memory and communication. Rather than a bioplay, this is a performance that examines the way the brain works, the power of the media, and the way we all communicate. The stage is set in four distinct areas. Front left is a journalist's office, with a map of the world and a desk. Back left is an artist's easel. Opposite these are the hospital ward and a doctor's desk with a lectern. Sheets of music on the floor form a high tide mark between the audience and the action. Bare bulbs hang from the ceiling all over the stage, giving an interrogation room feel. These different areas are used to good effect. Rather than scene following scene, the action continues in more than one area throughout the play. A spotlight might be highlighting the action in the hospital, but we can still see the journalist at work in his office, or the doctor at her desk looking at x-rays. The journalist is often a derided figure in contemporary culture. Here, Chris Matrago's weary reporter is not engaged in toxic behaviour, but has communication problems of his own. Mobile phone calls reveal that his work-life balance is not impressing his girlfriend. When researching the story of the piano man, he gets caught in a web of crossed wires, deceitful identifications trapping him as he tries to sort the truth from the lies. Sarah Bradnam's doctor is a competent, confident woman. She lectures the audience, explaining the way the brain works, explains that it is poorly understood. We're told the brain accounts for 25% of your daily energy usage, which makes you wonder why no one has launched a think more, lose weight diet plan. However, unless you're familiar with all the medical terms, she also is communicating whilst not actually being understood. Daniel Halassy plays the central character with Insouciance. From the start, he appears to be faking rather than suffering any post-traumatic stress disorders. But what is faking? If he is faking, is it any more than the rest of us? We may speak and not rely on a piano, but do we really communicate? The 75-minute play raises provoking questions about what is normal. What is the relationship between memory and identity? Are we just the sum of our experiences? There are no conclusions. You may leave the theatre slightly worried. What exactly is it that makes you, you? Thank you for downloading and listening to the Flâneur podcast. You can find more information about the reviews and the music on our website, www.flâneur.london. Thank you.